Good morning, Jackie. You're not here. Jackie attends in the summer. She lives in Lampasas, Texas, in the winter. And in the wintertime, she's always listening to the sermons online and gets such a kick out of it when I call her name on the tape. So there you are. I want to talk this morning about going round the mountain. If you got your bulletin, does anybody recognize that mountain? Nobody. I am from South Florida. I recognize that mountain. That mountain is not in South Florida, by the way. Being in South Florida, the highest natural elevation in the state of Florida is Mount Dora, which is 397 feet. So when people call me a flatlander, I have absolutely no problems with that. Vermonters call people not from Vermont flatlanders. I am from Florida. I qualify. Okay? The former pastor here was Howard Parrish. He was from West Virginia. So they would call him a flatlander, and I would just start laughing. Because on Highway 60 through West Virginia, there are three peaks over 6,000 feet on one road. That's not even the whole state. Just one road hits three peaks over 6,000 feet. How many peaks over 6,000 feet in Vermont? Anybody?
None.
So when they called him a flatlander, I kind of laughed. The mountain on the front of the bulletin is Mount Kilimanjaro. It is in Tanzania.
You should have known that.
You should have. Did anybody watch Hatari growing up? Okay, Hatari. They always showed that mountain. I'm like, oh, wow, that was cool, because I didn't see mountains, remember? It's a volcanic mountain. It grows in the middle of the Serengeti Plain. There is flat mountain, flat. You know? So that's what I thought mountains were until I came up north and found out some of them are shaped a little bit different. We talk about going round the mountain. We'll start off Numbers 10, beginning with verse 33. Talking about the children of Israel, it says, "So they departed from the mountain of God on a journey of 3 days, and the Ark of the Covenant went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. And so it was, whenever the ark went out, that Moses said, 'Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you.' And when it rested, he said, 'Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel.'" Every day as they went to go, as they went to start their journey, leaving the mountain of the Lord, going on this journey, that the presence of the Lord would go before them. You know, having read about the story of Exodus, in Exodus, where the children of Israel left Egypt, that the Spirit of the Lord went before them. And by day, if they were traveling, it was a pillar of cloud. And by night, the Spirit of the Lord was revealed as a pillar of fire. And that was what guided them on their journey. They went to the mountain of the Lord, and God gave them the commandments. And as they go to leave this place, the Spirit of the Lord is leading them. Now, we know that they spent an awful long time in the desert. They were in the desert for 40 years for a two-week journey. The reason for that is in the next passage, as we go down to Numbers 14, beginning with verse 17. Moses is saying, "And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, 'The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he might by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now.' And the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. because all of these men have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land which I swore to give to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it." Children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years before God brought them into the promised land. When we talk about going around the mountain so often, it's we're thinking about as we're dealing with a situation in our lives, and it seems like we still make the same mistakes. We still come back to the same area. We're not seeming to make any progress at all. Does this happen to anybody besides me? So as we do that, we often talk about that as going around the mountain. But I want you to notice, first off, that in verse 20, God says, "I have pardoned them. I have pardoned them." But as part of declaring my word and making my name great among the peoples of the earth, declaring my glory to the peoples of the earth, those who have rejected me are not going to see the blessing that I have. And we think sometimes, "Lord, why do I keep coming back here?" I had a person approach me 2 weeks ago, maybe. Person been a Christian for a long time, and said, "All of a sudden, I find myself dealing with some of the same things I thought I dealt with a long time ago." It happens to all of us. We are purified as gold and silver is purified. Everybody knows how that is, right? You turn up the heat and get the gooky stuff out, and they scrape it off. And when the bad stuff stops coming up, then the turn up the heat some more to find out what else is in there. As we walk through this life, as we try to as God is changing us from glory to glory, as we are becoming more and more and more like Jesus, as we are learning what it means to be patient, as we are learning what it means to be loving. It's real easy to be loving when everybody's nice to you. That's easy. That's not a challenge. That doesn't require the grace and mercy of God. Try being loving when the person's up in your face wanting to fight. That's when it's a challenge. Do I enjoy that? Absolutely not. Do I react properly to that? Not all the time. Sometimes the heat has to get turned up a little bit more, and a little bit more of the impurities come up to the surface so they can be dealt with. But going around the mountain is not necessarily a bad thing, because some things just take time. In our current society, I remember when minute rice came out. Wow, you can cook rice in a minute. Okay, it was you get what you pay for kind of thing, you know. You get the effort you put into it. It was some nasty stuff, but you could get it in a minute. You know, you go get the instant lunch, just add hot water. Yeah, it's not the best in the world. Some things just take time. And it doesn't mean we're being punished. It doesn't mean we're not forgiven. It doesn't mean that God is not working. It means sometimes things just take time. Sometimes we have to go around that mountain only because of what we're learning in the midst of going around that mountain. I've probably done it myself, but I know I've heard other people praying, "Lord, just teach me what I need to know about this test so I won't have to go through it again." Okay, well, one of the things you were supposed to learn is patience, and obviously you missed that point. Happens to all of us. Some things just take time. How old was Jesus when he was reasoning with the rabbis and the scribes in the temple the first time? How old was it when we hear of Jesus again? 30. What happened in those intervening 18 years? It just took time. Bible says Jesus grew in grace and stature. He grew and he learned. What all did he learn? I don't know. But by the time he showed up on the scene, remember what he said to his parents when they said, "Why have you done this to us? We were searching for you. And he says, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? Does that sound kind of cocky to anybody but me? Keeping in mind, it's Jesus, and there is no inflection, and there is no body language in written word. What's in it is what we put in it. So it might have been just the most humble, basic statement ever. But when I read it, that's what I see is a little bit of a cocky attitude. So maybe that's what's in me, is that little bit of a cocky attitude that still needs to be changed. But then when we see Jesus again, when Jesus goes before John the Baptist to be baptized, and his cousin John says, no, I need to be baptized by you. Jesus said, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. You need to baptize me first. Jesus got baptized and then went in the wilderness to be tested. Some things just take time. In Galatians 4, beginning with verse 3, Paul says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. You know, there are prophecies of Jesus in every book of the Bible, including Genesis. From the very beginning, there's prophecies of Jesus. There's prophecies of a Redeemer. There's prophecies of a Savior. There's prophecies in Isaiah of the suffering servant. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. But in the fullness of time, Jesus came. Some things take time. And that, in that waiting till just that proper moment, which we've seen Adam and Eve created in the garden, we've seen their sin, we've seen God sacrificing the animals, killing the animals to give them skins. We see them being driven out of the garden. We see Cain and Abel. We see the wickedness down through the years, to the point where in Noah's day, he was the only righteous man crying out. He was the only one seeking God. How long did it take Noah to build the ark? 100 years. Some things take time. The whole time he's building the ark, he's preaching. He's telling people, there's a flood coming. Your ways are wicked. Your wickedness has come up before God. God is going to destroy the earth, but here is a way of rescue. And they mocked him for 100 years. I have a hard time putting up with somebody getting in my face for a few minutes. They mocked him for 100 years while he's building this ark. Some things take time. So as we're going around that mountain, we realize that sometimes going around that mountain, going through the same thing, facing the same circumstances over and over and over again, maybe we need to learn patience in the middle of it. Maybe we need to recognize that no matter what is going on, God is still in control. No matter what is going on, the God who created us, the God who is at work in us, who has given us a new mind, who has given us a new heart and a new life, and is working in us to change us from glory to glory, is doing these things for a reason, for a purpose. And it's not because we haven't been forgiven. It's not because we're not even dealing with things. It's because as the heat gets turned up, as things occur in our lives, there's more and more opportunity to draw closer to the Lord. But some things don't happen. Snap your fingers. Done. I know people who, as God worked in them, whether it be healing or a deliverance, delivering from an addiction. It was an instantaneous thing. And I know other people who believed God and held on to it and fought for a healing in their body, fought for a healing from addiction, fought for deliverance from crazy things, deliverance from horrific circumstances for time and time and time and time again, but never gave up, recognizing that God was still in control. God doesn't always do it instantaneously. Sometimes things take a while. But God is the one who knows. And God is the one who is working in each and every one of us. As I've quoted the scripture a couple of times, to will and to do of His good pleasure. To want to and to be able to do the things that He's called us to do. Ephesians 1, beginning with verse 7. Says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made known, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in the heaven and which are in the earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase of the possession in the praise of His glory. Now, several times in this little passage right there, it talks about how some things are taking time. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that being predestined in verse 11, that in verse 13, you trusted in Him and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, until the redemption, until things taking time. As we're going around this mountain, as we're going through this life, as we're going through circumstances, as we find the opportunity to test our growth, as we find the opportunity to see how situations are working in our life. As we find the opportunity to say, I may not be where I think I need to be, but praise God, I remember just a few years ago, I would have reacted very, very differently to that. Praise God, God has done some wondrous things in us. We can look back and see where He's brought us from. I don't remember who I was talking with. I was talking with somebody just a couple days ago. And I was saying, I used to be a very, very angry person. I was. When I was running from God, you know, I'm not a big guy. I'm not an overly tough guy. But I was a vindictive guy. And I was mean. I was nasty. I was angry all of the time. But God changed my heart. Doesn't mean I don't have those times where I'd hold my hands behind my back. That way I don't make a big mistake. Because God is still at work. But each and every one of us, as we go through this life, we're going to have testings and trials. We're going to have a mountain that we go around. Because God is working in us each and every day in each and every circumstance. God is doing great and wondrous things. First Peter 5, last passage, beginning with verse 5. Peter's just talking about submission within the body and submission within the household. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So even Peter talks about how sometimes some things are going to take some time. He may exalt you in due time. Resist him, or resist the enemy. Resist the devil steadfast in the faith. And goes down and says in verse 10, after you have suffered a while. I don't want to suffer a while. Can't we skip that part? Some things take time. As we go through this life, as we face circumstances, some very pleasant, some very unpleasant. As we face difficulties with friends, coworkers, neighbors, family members, some pleasant, some very unpleasant. Each and every one is teaching us. Each and every one is giving the opportunity for God's grace to grow in us. And God is at work in it. We are called to resist the enemy steadfast in the faith. And to know that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. People all around us have the same difficulties we do. The difference is, because of the grace of God, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit being our teacher, we have a foundation and a strength and something holding us that the world just doesn't have. As they're tossed to and fro, as they're overwhelmed by circumstances, that there is no hope. We have a hope that is in Christ, the hope that springs eternal. It doesn't always mean it's pleasant. It doesn't always mean it's fun. It doesn't mean that I want to go around this mountain one more time. It doesn't mean that I want to face some of the same circumstances and some of the same difficulties again. What it does mean is, no matter what happens, I'm engraved in the hands of God. God is watching over me. The Holy Spirit will give me the wisdom to know when to shut my mouth. Hopefully I will listen. I don't always. God will give us the comfort that even when times are difficult, even when things are horrific happen, we have that confidence that God hasn't left us. Because there's coming a time where we have to share that with somebody. Because the Bible says we comfort other people with the comfort he has given us. If we never go through anything, there's nothing to be comforted about. If there's nothing to be comforted about, what do we have to share? Some things take time. Praise God. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that as we go through this life, sometimes it seems like we're going around the same mountain. We're going through the same circumstances. We're going through the same difficulties time and time again. Sometimes it seems so overwhelming in that, Lord. But we know, Father, that you are the one who still guides us. That you've said in your word, Father, that you are the God who changes not. As you've given your word is true. As we stand on it, Father, you are continuing to work in us. As you tell us, Father, to lay down our lives and to submit ourselves unto you. Lord, that you just lead us and teach us. We thank you, Father, for your comfort. We thank you, Lord, for your strength. And we do thank you, Father, for the changes that you've already worked in us. Lord, as we look back, we can see how you have changed us from glory to glory. And Father, we give praise for that. Help us, Lord, even in the middle of the difficulties, even in the middle of reoccurring difficulties, Father, not to be impatient, but, Lord, to place our lives in your hand, place our circumstances in your hands, and just know, Lord, that you are the one who is guiding us through it, and that you will complete the good work. That we have committed unto you, you are faithful to keep it. So, Father, we give you the glory and we give you all praise. We give you the thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.